Introducing Oakley Meta Vanguard, the new performance AI glasses designed for athletes with an action-ready ultra-wide camera, powerful open-ear speakers, and built-in Meta AI that syncs with your Garmin devices for real-time insights while you train. Take your performance to the next level with Oakley Meta Vanguard. Athletic intelligence is here. Learn more on meta.com.
By the time I hit my 50s, I'd learned a few things, like how family is precious. Work can always wait. And 99% of people over 50 already have the virus that causes shingles. Not everyone at risk will develop it, but I did. The painful, blistering rash disrupted my life for weeks. Don't learn about your shingles risk the hard way. Talk to your doctor or pharmacist today. Sponsored by GSK.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of The Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part, our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show.
Curry with 5 on the shot clock. Deep 3. Got it!
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Cha-ching and Thunder Moneyball! Gilgeous Alexander and Holmgren collaborate.
Live from The Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
If we could just complete a pass, it would look good.
The Rich Eisen Show. Today's guests. Pro Football Hall of Famer Kurt Warner. Rams head coach Sean McVay. Comedian Tom Papa. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to this edition of The Rich Eisen Show live from Los Angeles, California on the Disney Plus app, the ESPN app everywhere, and ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial on this program. Sean McVay is going to join us on this show, and a burning question for him when he joins. And I was thinking about this for all four quarters in London calling the game. It was raining in Wembley, and his hair was perfect. I mean, what does he put in that lid of his, man? And the Rams are on a bye this week, and always going to be great to catch up with Sean McVay. The comedian Tom Papa stops by in studio in hour number three. Kurt Warner, Hall of Fame quarterback, you may have heard of. I called that Jaguars-Rams game with him. He's first up, as always, on a Warner Wednesday. That means the entire second hour is open for us. I've got my my power rankings for you, but 844-204-RICH is the number to dial on the program. Chris Brockman, good to see you over there. How
Rich,
are you, sir?
Great to be seen. What's up, man?
DJ Mikey, D&Z's Nuts.
Good, morning,
good to
Rich.
See you. TJ Jefferson, it appears the candle's already lit, which is
it's
good.
Lit.
Good.
How are you guys doing today?
We're doing great. We're doing great. I mean, there's a lead item to discuss. And listen, you know, the NFL, there's no like breaking news today. We're waiting for the Vikings and the Chargers to kick off week 8 tomorrow. There's a big game on Sunday night. Packers and Aaron Rodgers renewing acquaintances on Sunday night football. That's good stuff. And so many other games to talk about. The NBA did tip off last night. But in my mind, the lead is we have a new drop.
I hate this team.
And I think it's going to be used.
A lot.
By me.
You know, I think it's.
You.
I mean, all of us in life have a team that we love, but we
and another thing, Vonnegut.
Oh, I hate this team.
There you go. Thank you.
Double one.
I didn't expect to hear
Rodney.
Thornton Mellon. But. I'll never say that about you guys. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you sure about that?
I'm positive.
Yeah, positive.
Hey, listen, if the Lakers keep on playing around 500 basketball, some folks in Los Angeles might sound like that teenager.
I hate this team.
I think we got a nice snapshot, and obviously I'm a Laker hater. But we got a nice snapshot of what this Lakers season's going to look like.
Let me guess. I think I know what you're going to say because you were kind of alluding to it prior to us sitting out here. Luka's going to go off.
Absolutely nuclear.
Okay.
MVP type season.
And then we're going to be wondering if LeBron's going to join the party at some point in time. You know, and if he's showing signs of his age and if that matters. And I think it does, certainly since he missed a tip off last night for the first time to start a season. And he's sitting there high up in his chair, looking. I mean, a double-breasted situation with a T-shirt.
There's no way those glasses are real, right?
They're, you don't think there's they're no Michael Irvin real. Glasses? Those are Michael
no
Irvin
chance,
glasses.
A TJ situation.
Yeah. Who? Why does that bother you so much? By the way.
Which is what?
He gets infuriated because people wear glasses that aren't prescription.
Guess
like, who
what?
Gives a crap?
It's called accessorizing.
It's called fashion. Like,
I
who
think
cares?
You're fine.
Thank
don't you listen to him.
You're spitting in the face of people who need them.
That's how it's looking. What are we talking
guess
about?
What? Guess what? This is the same way people who have fake hair look at us, you know? Or vice versa.
Well, the way I look at them.
You know what I mean?
See, you have hair envy. Some of us
say,
have
no,
sight
people
envy.
People just look at us and say, what are you doing being bald? We'll put some fake stuff just like I'm doing. You know what I mean?
You could take care of that.
Wow.
While we're into this, it's like going to a gym in Los Angeles and seeing guys working out with like winter caps on. And it's just like, excuse me, where I'm from, that's a necessity, not an accessory. But at any rate, Michael Irvin used to wear fake glasses all the time.
Yeah, like, what do we do?
But the bottom line is LeBron has a nerve irritation in his glute,
ooh,
which is what they're calling it.
Oh.
It's an ass pain.
Yes.
Which is what it's like watching Laker basketball sometimes this season. Potentially, it's just one game. And I was talking about this with Susie last night or this morning. They all meld together. Susie's just like, you know, hearing on the radio or watching this morning, it was this morning, what's wrong with the Lakers? And it's just like, well, I mean,
it's been 48 minutes.
It's the NBA being treated as if it's the NFL.
Right.
You know, and you can't do that. There's 82.
We
of
tried
these
that
things.
With baseball, remember?
And we did for tough. A hot minute, but then it's 162. Yeah. Like, oh,
we
then
hung in there for a minute.
The next night. And there might be a game the next night in the NBA, but more likely than not, somebody who's got a nerve irritation in his glute will be, have that load managed. You know what I mean? And that's what's going to, at some point, LeBron will come back and it's just like, well, how much is he going to play? What's he going to look like? And Austin Reeves had foul trouble last night and he scores 13 of his 26 in the fourth quarter. But all it could do against the Warriors was get a 17-point lead cut down to 6. And then the Lakers are cut down to size by a team like the Warriors who look terrific. And then you take a look across the way, you know, earlier and you're seeing a Rockets team that starts a 6'11 Durant, 7 foot Durant, if you want to call, at the two guard.
Yeah, man.
Durant's a shooting guard on this team. You know, Amen Thompson is the shortest guy at 6'7 in their starting five.
Yep.
And they gave the defending champs all they can handle in a highly entertaining double overtime tip to the NBA season and NBC's reemergence on the NBA on NBC. And it's exciting. I mean, it has been an exciting night last night and tonight. You know, it's the return of Inside the NBA.
Right.
First of two nights in a row on ESPN. That's going to be a lot of fun to see what that looks like in a new home. The Knicks are starting things off tonight. The first of 82 games. You're wondering, wait a minute, why didn't you get Giannis when you could? All that good stuff. It's going on right now. But with the Lakers, certainly here locally, I mean, Draymond Green kind of summed it up about LeBron. Did you hear his comment about LeBron sitting high in the chair? Hit it.
It was a little different tonight. Like, Luka out there, and there's no LeBron. Like, he's up on his high chair that he's got to sit on right now. And, I mean, like, is it weird? Not, I mean, it's the first opening night he's missed in 23 years, you know?
Yeah, LeBron old ass was over there in his Phil Jackson chair.
I think Ramona was the one who spun that hanging curve in the zone. And LeBron took it out like, you know, maybe Ohtani's going to do here in Los Angeles when the series comes here next week. But at any rate, you know, I mean, wring your hands all you want. Luka scores. Skinny Luka looks great. LeBron sitting high up in his Phil Jackson chair. We did not play the rest of the soundbite, which, by the way, we should know. Draymond was highly respectful of LeBron, but that was with all due respect after saying the disrespectful thing.
With all due respect.
Yeah, you got to say that first.
Also, we got to talk about Luka. Looked like the groin was hurting him.
Oh my goodness!
A little bit.
Well, not enough band work in his men's health workout over the summer.
Give it a couple weeks, and his back will hurt from carrying this bad team.
Look at you, Celtic fan, over there. getting ready for tonight. For tonight against the Sixers.
Sixers, baby.
And Embiid.
Is Embiid playing?
Is
he playing?
Apparently so.
Oh, man.
Does he have his Phil Jackson chair for his knee?
Apparently so. He did the smart thing. He got surgery early enough in the offseason, unlike Paul George, to be ready for tonight.
That's right. So the NBA season, listen, it's who is going to help Luka with LeBron out there? And then the question is when is LeBron coming back? What's he going to look like when he comes back? How much is he going to play? Will he be a Laker for long? Yada, yada, yada. We're already underway in this season. While the Warriors, I'll tell you what, guys.
Sneaky.
How are they sneaky? What do we say? Why? Because they didn't win it last year in Oklahoma City's.
Well, I would say terrific. The West is pretty loaded.
I get it, but I don't know what's so sneaky about having a team where, Steph Curry on certain nights is not the number one because Jimmy Butler is, and Buddy Hield is lighting it up, and Kuminga's signed, and he's going to start playing well, and they're going to figure out Curry's going to figure out how to mesh this team, and they stay healthy, they're friggin' good.
Seventh best odds to win the West.
I don't get it.
Al Horford again sipping from the fountain of youth.
Look at you, man.
Oh man, I hate seeing Al in the Warriors uniform.
Yeah,
bummer.
Yeah, the first shot of his 19th season was a made three.
Of course, it was.
They said Horford. You were talking about football players being washed. I was told Al Horford was washed
like
when he was with the Sixers.
6 years ago.
And then he goes on to win a championship with you guys. Like.
Yep. And it's all good in the Warriors' hood, man. They're all yucking it up already. You know?
They came out
on the,
to play.
On the Lakers side, folks here in Los Angeles are wondering, what, are we good enough? Can we be good enough? And the Warriors are yucking it up post-game about a free throw shooting contest for the season. Did you see this one?
No.
Between Jimmy Butler and Steph Curry. Here's Jimmy first.
Oh, man.
I got a bet with I think it's a – I don't think it's a bad bet, but it's kind of a bad bet. with Dre, that I got to shoot a better percentage than number 30 on our team. Yeah, right?
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Yeah. Yeah, so.
What do you think you win?
You think you can?
Of course I think I can.
Score probably 91, 92.
I'm going to have to, but it's a great start. But I shot double the amount that he did, too. So, but I think I could do it. If he go 8 for 8, I should be able to go 16 for 16 most nights, every night.
Guess what? Jimmy Butler's going to get a lot of free throws. Mm-hmm. If I don't know if you saw a couple times last night also, Curry drawing the double team on a pick and roll as he's rolling away from the basket. I've never seen, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I get it.
So Jimmy's got the ball, and Steph rolls away from the basket, and the wide open lane emerges for Butler to go down, and he gets fouled because everybody's following Steph to the three-point line.
Because three is greater than two.
Dude, it's just one game. Butler did, in fact, make all 16 of his free throws last night, and Curry made all 8 of his. And after the game, Curry was told, actually informed of this wager between Butler and Draymond Green.
Know?
He hit it.
Steph, are you aware Jimmy has bet Draymond that he'll have a better free throw percentage than you this year?
That's the first time I'm hearing it.
Do you think it's plausible?
No chance.
That's awesome.
It's fun. The NBA's back. Yeah. They're having fun. John Tesh is playing Round Ball Rock live on the Today Show. Did you see that one?
I did see that.
Live. Round Ball Rock. Jordan sitting down with Tirico talking about, hey, I was renting a house the other day.
Man, was funny.
Did you see that one?
I heard about it, and the headline that I saw was that Michael Jordan makes stunning and shocking admission.
Whatever.
By the way, not shocked that a guy in his 60s doesn't play basketball anymore.
First of all,
he was nervous.
Hold on a second. There's many things to talk about this. First of all, for those who don't know, Tirico sits down with Michael Jordan. I guess that's part of the NBA on NBC's coverage, is that we know Jordan's part of their coverage. We just didn't know how he was going to be employed in the coverage.
Right.
And it appears he sits down with Tirico. I would love to see him sitting, in a studio setting like Kenny and Shaq.
Oh, man.
And,
I mean, sure.
And Charles.
That would be insane.
And I actually forwarded an idea to an NBC executive.
Oh, look at you. Factor.
over the spring when this was announced. And I'm like, what you should do is you should have some wild soundbite from an NBA player placed on an iPad and handed to Jordan, and he reacts to it like it's The Last Dance every week. Here's this week's topic of conversation, Michael. But at any rate, Tirico asks Jordan the last time he shot a basketball, and he tells a story about how he rented a house over the summer
for a golf tournament.
Ryder Cup.
For Ryder Cup. Yeah. That's what it was. Yeah. Okay, for Ryder Cup. Yeah. And
the grandson wanted to shoot
a free throw.
Yeah.
And he did, he made the free throw. Like,
bless his basketball.
But he said he'd already paid for the house. Yeah.
But the shocking admission was he told Tirico, he goes, I have not been that nervous before I shot
in a
long time.
Yeah, I hadn't picked up a ball in a few years.
And Tirico was like, did you make it? And he's like, of course.
Absolutely. He said, absolutely. All I could think of was, who's renting their house to Michael Jordan out there on Long Island? And it's got to be just like Bobby Axelrod's house or something.
Or Mike doesn't have a Hamptons house or a Long Island crib. Like, that's a little surprising.
Ahmad doesn't have a crashing pad for him out there.
Maybe they'll spend a lot of time in Hamptons.
Ahmad was in the guest house. You know what I mean?
But what a great, that was a fun first night.
Yeah.
It was a fun first night
in the NBA.
Except for Laker fans. And I think we have an exclusive soundbite from somebody just down the street.
I hate this team.
There we go.
Oh, you know, I got all right. That was O'Shea Jackson saying that.
Don't.
You don't understand.
The smoke is there.
We're a wrestling podcast, and yet somehow he always gets Laker talk in there.
One of the most viral moments in the history of No Contest Wrestling's first year was you guys learning that Luka was acquired by the Lakers on a Zoom.
I mean, Luka put that moment in his own video package of him coming.
All right, great first segment on the NBA, guys.
We're back.
And we got a new drop that we're using over and over again.
Has somebody hugged that kid yet?
I don't know. We're in search of him, by the way. Yes, we are. We're in search of that young man to have him on this program. So if you know who he is, reach out, everybody. We're looking.
He's in rehab.
We're crowdsourcing.
He's in rehab.
Wow.
He's in Jets rehab. Wow. Right,
he's in his own darkness. He's living a darkness retreat.
That's my life.
All right. When we come back, we will ask Kurt Warner, what should Justin Fields be thinking when the owner of the New York Jets says,
dude,
coach is doing just fine at 0-7. Any coach who has got a quarterback like this is going to look like that.
Man.
Oh, my word. And a little bit more from Kurt Warner when we come back.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.
ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Kurt Warner here on the program. Kurt, we're now a few days removed from what we saw in London. Can you put into words what we're seeing from Matthew Stafford this season, Kurt?
Yeah, I mean, he's just in full control of everything. You know, in the past, I mean, we've always seen, you know, great play and the special throws and, you know, how gifted he is as a thrower. But I think a lot of times what came with that was some big risks, you know, some turnovers along the way. And right now, he just looks to be in that zone. And I mean, even the game that we saw in London, I mean, they didn't really ask him to do all that much, you know, so to speak. He wasn't winging the ball down the field, but it's about managing it. And it's about making the throws that are there in front of you. And, you know, even some of those short throws that he made were really great throws in that game. But that to me is what it feels like, is that he's gone to another level just in terms of the way that he's playing the game and the way that he's got a comfort level in that offense. And, you know, I mean, even in that, I don't think we ever saw the ball in harm's way that entire game. It's just protect the football, make the throws that are there. He's going to make some of those special throws, whether it's a sidearm throw for the touchdown or whether it's the long naked bootleg where he flips the hips and throws it 45 yards on the dime, you know, for the touchdown to his tight end. But that to me is what I'm seeing that's even different than we've seen in the past, is that, you know, making those throws, taking, you know, those risks, but, you know, fully comfortable doing it and not putting the ball in harm's way. And it's got this offense and this team playing really, really well.
What's your takeaway from Bucks Lions, Kurt? What's your takeaway from that game, the Monday nighter?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing is that, you know, the When you look at the Bucks and their offense, I mean, they're just trying to get guys healthy so they can know who's going to show up and who's going to be there every time out. You know, they've had guys in and out of the lineup, and they've done well, and Baker's been great. But it's just a tough thing when, you know, you go in, you finally get Mike Evans back, and you probably have a big package for him, and there's no Chris Godwin, and Abuka was, you know, banged up a little bit, and so he's kind of the focal point, and then he breaks the collarbone, and he's out, and so now you're trying to shuffle guys in. So I think that's my biggest take, is that, you know, they got to get healthy and figure out, you know, who they're going to be, and give Baker kind of a solid group to work with, because he is playing at an extremely high level. But it just, it caught up with them. You know, Detroit went and challenged them and played man-to-man coverage, and they just didn't seem to have the horses to be able to match up. You know, it wasn't a great performance from the Lions offense outside of a couple big plays and Jahmyr Gibbs, you know, being Jahmyr Gibbs. But I think my biggest takeaway was just, hey, you know, kind of caught up with the Bucks finally. They've had so many close games, finally caught up with them. And then I really liked what, you know, Detroit did defensively, and they were really aggressive and attacked and did some cool things scheme-wise, I thought, in their man-to-man coverage that made it hard on the Bucks. So I think those were kind of my big takeaways from that game.
Yeah, I mentioned that I think the Bucks still have a shot to go on a Super Bowl run, even with Mike Evans out. Got a side eye from some here on the program, and then the googly eyes from the NFL account on Twitter from ESPN. And because, I mean, Evans wasn't there in Seattle when Tampa went up there and won a shooting match. And at some point, Bucky Irving's coming back. Godwin will be back. You know, there's a and I don't think they're going to be terribly threatened within their own division. I mean, what do you say, Kurt?
I agree. I mean, when you have a quarterback playing really, really well, you know they have playmakers. Like you said, I mean, Bucky Irvin to me is one of those explosive type players that is hard to replace. And, you know, and so you get, you know, Godwin back, you get him back. Their defense to me is always a wild card, and the wild card can go either way. Todd Bowles will attack you, and they will give you a lot of different looks, and they will create havoc. But at the same time, they can give up a lot of big plays as well. So I think a run for them obviously will be centered around Baker, but it'll be about that defense and that defense being able to kind of, you know, what do I want to say, lock in to the point where they're still going to attack, but you just can't give up those big game-changing plays. Because, again, in this game, Detroit struggled to do a whole bunch. You know, they had the first drive, and then they had the long touchdown run. And outside of that, it was really a struggle for them. But they had a couple big plays along the way that changes the complexion of things. And so that will be, to me, the challenge for this Bucks team. You know, if they've got to throw it every snap like they've been doing, you know, the pieces in and out, but really about their defense. And does their defense create havoc during a playoff run? Or do they give up the big plays and does it end up costing them?
Kurt Warner here on the Rich Eisen Show. I want to linger on the AFC East a little bit here. Bill's coming back from a bye week. And Drake May and the Patriots have been terrific. They just won three in a row on the road, including it started with that win in Buffalo. And I understand there were lesser opponents between that game and right now at New Orleans and at Tennessee. This week they've got Cleveland before a home date with Atlanta and then visiting the aforementioned Bucks. I want to give you the floor on Drake May, because 2 years ago you were talking about, hey, C.J. Stroud is not just an offensive rookie of the year. He looks like an MVP and a unicorn. And then Jaden Daniels was essentially hold my beer. Yeah. Are we seeing it again right now with Drake May right now? Do you think, Kurt?
I mean, we're seeing something, you know, pretty special here early on in year two. And I really liked what I saw from him last year, but he's made that jump. You know, I said on something yesterday that I think he's playing the best of all the second year quarterbacks. And you know, Jaden Daniels was awesome last year, but not playing nearly as well. Bo Nix not playing nearly as well. And this guy just continues to elevate. You know, I actually did a piece on QB Confidential about Drake May. And the thing to me that's crazy is, you know, he went 21 for 23 in that game and setting records and they're winning. But he left a whole bunch of stuff out there. I mean, there was a lot of easy first throws that he didn't take And he took off running and did some of those creative things. And that to me is the next step for Drake May is to take the layups, you know, more like his predecessor in Tom Brady was so good at, hey, if they're going to give me 5 yards, I'm going to take it. I'm gonna take it every time. And I'm not just going to, I'm not just going to try to get big plays or go out and create, because we saw it put him in harm's way in that game. He took that big hit and had to come out of the game. And there's a lot of those that he doesn't have to take because the offense is working for him. It's right in front of him. And, you know, making the big throws down the field, probably the best deep ball thrower in the league right now. But
wow,
some of those layups and some of those on schedule plays, he's got to make them. And he can't just keep relying on putting his body in harm's way over and over again. We know he can do it, and we know he's going to make a few plays a game that way. But to me, it's too much taking off too quickly instead of, you know, allowing some of those things and the guys around him to make plays for him.
You're saying he went 21 to 23 and turned down layups? Is that what you were saying?
Turned down a bunch of layups.
Wow.
Like a bunch of them.
And
yeah,
you think he's the best deep thrower in the league right now?
Yes. I mean, he, you know, it's like a handoff when he's throwing it down the field. It's got great touch to it, great pace on it. You know, there's even, you know, a couple throws in the game where you're just kind of like, there's nothing that really says throw that deep hole shot, you know, all by itself down the right sideline. But he's like, yeah, I'm in a zone. I'm going to take it anyways and drop a dime over a corner and beat a safety. And it's, you know, it's like, ho-hum, just another throw. So, yeah, he's doing some really special things down the field with the ball. But like I said, I just think there's room to grow and there's more out there for him that will make the game easier on him. And, you know, that's what you want to try to do is make it easy on your quarterback, make it easy on yourself as much as you can, because you know you're going to need a couple of those special plays through the course of a game, but you just don't want to have to live in that world. And right now he's just playing a little bit too fast on some of those things, but he's doing a lot right outside of that.
Kurt Warner here on the Rich Eisen Show. In the pre-broadcast Zoom that we were having with Justin Fields prior to the Jets and the Broncos, Justin Fields called himself his own worst critic until the owner of the Jets stepped to a microphone yesterday. You know what I mean? There does appear to be another worst critic. This is what Woody Johnson had to say about Aaron Glenn's job status.
What's your confidence level in Aaron to turn it around?
Well, it looks like he's turning around parts of it. You know, it's hard when you have a quarterback with, you know, with a rating that we got. You know, he has the ability, but something just is not jiving. But if you look at any head coach with a quarterback like that, you're going to see similar results if you go across the league.
I mean, it was like Woody Johnson turned into a longtime listener, first-time caller on WFAN, you know, or ESPN in New York, Kurt. So what should Justin Fields think when he hears this, Kurt?
I mean, obviously it's never a fun place to be. You know, the only thing I would say is there is some truth, you know, in there, you know, not that Justin has just played awful, because I don't think he's played awful. But there's also, you know, we talk about leaving stuff out there. I mean, you know, we could talk about our game, you know, over in London. You know, there wasn't a lot there, but there was enough there and enough easy things there that if he makes those plays, they possibly win that football game. And that to me is kind of what, you know, Woody Johnson is talking about, is like, we got to have those things. Like, you have to make those plays as a quarterback, and you've got to be more consistent than Justin Fields has been, because this isn't a good team. Like, this team has not put it together. They're still trying to build in all these areas. You've got to have better play from your quarterback. And so I understand where it's coming from. Obviously, it sounds extremely harsh because it sounds like everything is being put on Justin Fields, and that's definitely not the case. But you went out and you signed him to $20 million a year. You brought him in here to be your starting quarterback, and you've got to get more from that position. You just have to. If you're going to be competitive and you're going to win on a week-to-week basis, you've got to get more from that position. And, you know, and I talk about it all the time, because going into our game a couple weeks ago, I mean, you know, we can throw out the stats, you know, it was 4 touchdowns and 0 interceptions, and he had 100 quarterback rating. And so those things sound really, really good. But the bottom line is, just like we saw again in our game, is holding the football and not taking some throws. And that might mean throwing the football away and dropping your rating. You know, that might mean putting the ball in harm's way a little bit and throwing an interception, but it's taking chances and it's pushing the ball down the field, because the team needs some big plays. They need some things down the field to be able to, you know, kind of subsidize where they're at as a football team right now. And so, again, it's a tough place to be, but it's part of what comes with the territory. Is you've got to play good football at that position if you're going to win football games in this league. And if you're not a very good team that's rebuilding and trying to figure it out, you've got to get better play at that position. And I don't think Justin, you know, he's mentioned it. He talked about it the last couple of weeks, that he's got to be better. He's got to play better. But never a fun spot when the owner of the team comes out and makes a statement like that.
No question about it. What's happened to Tua, just simply put, Kurt?
I just think he's lost his confidence. You know, all the things that he's done well over the years, he's not doing now. It looks like he's second-guessing everything. He's questioning every decision and every throw. I mean, I mentioned it like a couple of weeks ago. I think it was 2 weeks ago. Had an interception early where he came back and dropped back, and there was like a skinny post or a quick in to Jalen Waddle. And that is a throw that he hits his back foot and he throws that thing every single time. I mean, that's what he's made his money doing. And he comes back and he hesitates, and then, you know, he double pumps it, and then he throws it late. And Jalen Waddle is over there going, well, like, okay, he didn't throw it on time, so I don't think the ball's coming. And the ball hits him in the numbers and it pops up and it's intercepted. And it's just, that to me is kind of what's going on in Miami right now, is just everybody is second guessing everything. And Tua is second guessing every decision and every throw. And a guy that used to be great in terms of anticipation, great in terms of accuracy, those things have gone out the window. And in a timing-oriented offense, and when you're a timing-oriented quarterback and those things have gotten away from you, it looks like it's looked the past few weeks. And, I mean, you just sit back and you know, there's some things structurally. I've always talked about that offense that makes it hard on a quarterback. But Tua was the perfect player within that system because of certain things and superpowers that he had. And right now, everything is a mess there. And, you know, it's Tua, you know, playing without any confidence. And when you have to go back and play this position with no confidence, and you're asked to make play after play, and you're asked to anticipate and throw into tight windows, and you've lost your confidence, it is a tough place to be. And we're seeing that right now. The hesitation from Tua is killing him and killing this offense. And, you know, and again, the hard part about it is, okay, you've lost it. And we're so used to thinking, okay, these guys are pros. These guys have been through it before. Just go find it again. Like, you've had it and you've played great in it. How did you lose your confidence? We don't really care at this point. Just go get it back. And it's just not that easy, because you feel like every mistake you make goes the other direction. And when that happens, now you get afraid to make, you know, decisions and afraid to make throws, because you're like, is this one? You know, I mean, I hit my receiver in the numbers and it was an interception. You know, now what? And so that to me is where he's at right now. And it's not as easy as just, you know, pushing a button or going out there and, you know, letting everything else go and just say, okay, this week I'm going to be confident. It just doesn't play out like that. He's got to start making some plays, and they got to start playing better for him to kind of build that back up and get back to where he was a couple of years ago.
Kurt Warner here on the Rich Eisen Show. Listen, it's a long season, as we all know. And, you know, everything that we just discussed can be turned around, including, you know, what we just mentioned, although it doesn't look great in Miami. And case in point is the team that we left in Brazil. Yep. The Chiefs don't look at all like that team at all right now. Are they back, Kurt? Are they back?
What do you think? I think they are back.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about, you know, early in the season, it didn't look like Patrick Mahomes was confident, was comfortable with what they were doing.
And, right.
You know, we've talked a lot about how they wanted to kind of change their scheme and get back to making the big plays. And it just didn't look comfortable. It didn't look like, you know, he had confidence in his guys and his throws weren't coming out anywhere close to his guys. And now they've gotten back to what we've seen from this Chiefs team over the last couple years. And it's the quick throws. It's the RPOs to supplement the run game. It's, you know, the things that Patrick can do, you know, moving with his legs and making throws on the run. And, you know, now they've got their weapons back and Rashee Rice coming back into form and their defense is playing. Like, yeah, I mean, this was a team that spotted everybody a couple games to start the season. And now, you know, they're hitting it full speed right now, and they are playing catch up with all these other teams that seem to be sputtering a little bit, you know, like the Chargers and the Broncos and that sort of thing. And so I don't think anybody is going to want to play this team that they do. I mean, when you look at the AFC, you know, when you looked at it early on and Chiefs were struggling, you're like, oh my gosh, you know, there's lots of teams up there that could, you know, push for this thing. And now you're looking at the Ravens at 1-5 and the Buffalo Bills struggling a little bit and the better teams in their division struggling now down the stretch. I think the Chiefs are sitting there going, man, we're right where we want to be. Doesn't matter that we didn't come out of the blocks fast. We're hitting our stride at the right time. We're confident. We're feeling good. We've got our guys back. And I do think they're the team to beat in the AFC as of right now.
Kurt Warner here on the Rich Eisen Show. Before I let you go, the usual question, quarterback that looked the best on all 22, Mr. QB Confidential. Everybody, by the way, check out Kurt's YouTube channel, QB Confidential. Who is it this week?
Yeah. You know, I mean, it would be hard to argue with a Drake May that went 21 for 23 in a game, but I already told you that I felt like he missed a lot of things in that game. I thought Patrick Mahomes played really, really well. Sam Darnold is rolling, but I'm going to go back to somebody that I've already mentioned once and not on necessarily one of the best teams in the league, but Dak Prescott is continuing to play lights out. 3 more touchdowns, no interceptions, big play after big play down the field. I thought he had the best performance again this past week. He is in, we talk about confidence. This guy's got it. And this guy is not hesitating and he feels like he's going to make every throw that's out there, even if their defense struggles a little bit, he feels like he can lead them to a win using all of his guys. I mean, it's just it's fun to watch number four, you know, and Jerry Jones coming out and saying, hey, that guy, that's the guy that's indispensable. And right now, there is no question about it. You have a quarterback playing like that. He is indispensable for this team, but he's got them at least competitive right now because of the way that he's playing.
If I said the last 6 minutes, would you say Bo Nix? The last 6 minutes of a game, or dark, man.
That was insane. That was nuts. That was crazy. You know, you're watching it play out, and I mean, even just the way things kind of went the Giants' way. You know, they got the tipped ball, and the tight end grabs it and goes 40 yards for a touchdown.
Theo
and you're
Johnson.
Just like, man, everything is going in their direction. And then it just, you know, the interception by Jackson, and then the Broncos actually had a tipped ball that was caught by somebody else in the end zone for a touchdown as well. And so it was crazy. And it's crazy how this league, because of, I think, the rules and the way they're set up now, you know, I think back a couple decades ago when I was playing, it was hard to come back from being down 2 touchdowns, 3 touchdowns, obviously. And not that it's easy now, but because of the rules and because of, you know, the way the defenses have to play softer and the way that you get so many of these different penalties and things that happen, I think we see a lot more of this in this NFL where teams can fall down a couple scores. And we've seen it a number of times. What was it, 2 weeks ago? We saw 4 or 5 teams come back from, you know, 2 touchdowns down to win football games. I just think it's easier now. It's kind of like the NBA where they say everybody can make a run even when you get up by 20 points. It feels very much like that in the NFL too. And so no lead is safe, obviously, when a team goes in and scores 33 points in the fourth quarter to get a win.
Kurt, you're the man. Great time in London with you. I'll see you when our carriage turns back into a pumpkin on game day morning on Sunday.
All right. Okay. I can't wait. Can't wait. It was a blast, but I'm ready to get back to work. I'm ready to get back with the fellas. It's going to be fun.
And I look forward to getting back with you because, you know, maybe you'll start picking games better when you're back in the studio because you're first anymore, pal.
No, I know. I was like the 2-minute drills we saw in London, man. I don't know what I was doing, and I fell apart.
There are some behinds and elbows of that you're viewing right now, none bigger than Mooch's. But anyway, listen, good to see you, Kurt. I'll see you Sunday, bud.
All right, buddy.
That's Kurt Warner, everybody.
You're always trying to diss Kurt. No,
I'm not trying to diss him. I'm a truth teller.
He should just, every time you just have something smart to say, you just lift that ring up.
Actually, I think Kurt just mentioned about his picks. He just mentioned,
I hate this team.
There you go.
Wow.
844-204 Rich.
Kurt,
number
please bring your jacket to work on Sunday,
so
please.
Cold.
I hate this team.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
We all love a legendary comeback, and Degree Original Cool Rush is back and better than ever. Cool Rush isn't just a scent, it's a movement, a fan favorite that delivers bold, fresh vibes and all-day sweat protection. Whether you have a man that spends hours in the gym, heads into the office early, or is just trying to stay fresh on a long day, Cool Rush has their back. Head to your local Walmart or Target and grab Degree Cool Rush, the fan favorite scent from the world's number one antiperspirant brand.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, the Hyundai Hope on Wheels campaign. I've been telling you about it for a while. It dovetails exactly the way I feel about what I do with my run, pediatric cancer research and awareness for the last 27 years. Every Hyundai sold has helped fund life-saving pediatric cancer research. Together with over 850 dealers nationwide, they've raised more than $277 million, supporting over 25,000 kids in their fight against cancer. Visit HyundaiUSA.com and search Hyundai Hope on Wheels to learn more, please. At Hyundai, hope isn't optional. It comes standard. Dan Quinn just announced it's Marcus Mariota on Monday night against the Kansas City Chiefs in Arrowhead. What an absolute nightmare of a first half of a season it has been for Jaden Daniels, coming off of his unicorn rookie campaign, where he was an absolute revelation and a nonstop yards and points and hope machine in the Mid-Atlantic area for the Commanders. And, you know, the Daniels-McLaurin connection, put on the rocks by a holdout. And again, we never talk about when a holdout turns into something just fine, right? Last year, CeeDee Lamb, right? Didn't he have a good year even though Dak got hurt?
Yeah.
I mean, pretty much. But McLaurin, usually when you hold out, some sort of soft tissue injury sets in because you're not around or things, your off season isn't the same, training camp isn't the same, and, you know, a quad injury that appears to be worse than that has kept him out for a month. And Jaden Daniels coming back after tweaking his knee in a week two loss in Green Bay after a week one against the Giants looked pretty choppy. Then he misses a couple weeks, comes back with a knee brace. His best game was against the Chargers here in Los Angeles when things looked kind of like last year. And then he gets twisted up in the pocket wearing that brace. I don't know if that had anything to do with it, but can't help. And he doesn't finish the game in last week's loss to Dallas. Dak looked terrific. And they look like the second best team in the division, if not potentially the best, because they gave the Eagles quite the game in week one. And, you know, CeeDee Lamb, as we just heard from Kurt Warner talking about how terrific Dak looks, CeeDee Lamb says this is the best offense he's been on. As a member of the Dallas Cowboys. Pickens is doing it. Ferguson is doing it.
Ferguson's
tight end.
Really doing it.
Javonte Williams is doing it. And Dak is doing it. And the line is doing it. And they're holding up their end of the bargain.
Yes, they are.
In Dallas this year. And in Washington, just a disaster of a first half of a season. Well, I guess I shouldn't call it that way. You want to look at disaster, look at a winless Jets team or what's going on with the Dolphins or any one-win team in the NFL right now entering week eight.
Maybe a disaster because more was expected from that.
Well,
team.
It has been, yes, that's one way to put it. And it's just been fits and starts and injuries. And now, just as the Chiefs look as good as they've looked in any time over the last several years, the Commanders have to go on a Monday night into Arrowhead with Marcus Mariota. Good luck. No Jaden Daniels, and who knows about McLaurin. And the Washington Commanders' bye isn't until week 12. Oof. So there's not even that bye week around the corner to help them out. That's the latest on Daniels.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.